I'd like now to welcome Linda Siegel with today's legislative update. Welcome, Linda.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte.
So there's, as we know, in this legislature so far, we've got issues of health and education and, above all, a very low budget. But there's some things that we haven't talked about, which really happen every year, which is the whole question of how citizens really can get their voices heard at the legislature, especially in the face of an establishment in which people, even like you, have kind of heard it all before. What's that like when you're a legislator or when you're a lobbyist and you do this for years? Do you get jaded?
Well, sometimes, and it seems like, too, that legislators have so many issues to deal with, of which they can't possibly understand them because there are many, many complicated issues. And so every year when you go up as a lobbyist, it's sometimes that you feel like you're just saying the same thing you said last year and the year before, and you're continually re-educating legislators about the issue. And that's why it's so important if citizens and people who want to have an impact on what's going on at the legislature to organize and meet with their elected officials long before the legislature starts. I mean, that's what I try to do with many of my clients. If we have complicated issues, let's try and sit down with key legislators or your own legislator and talk about these issues before the session starts. And it's too all about politics, because If people have political agendas, which we all do usually, then there's this kind of party line sometimes. And so the questions will, you know what questions you're going to get if you're in a committee and it's a piece of legislation that's going to be party line just because of the different philosophies of the parties.
Are legislators interested in hearing from people who are not in their specific legislative district?
Well, not really, because if you don't live in their district, you're not going to vote for them. You're not going to get your friends to vote for them. And so what's going on with really controversial bills, abortion bills, parental notification, gay rights bills, those kinds of issues, hundreds and hundreds, sometimes thousands of people will call, but they won't be calling their legislator. They'll be burning up the phone lines, just everybody calling every legislator. And though it makes legislators nervous, they're not their constituents, and many of them ignore those calls unless they're coming from people in their district.
I guess that also underlines the importance of having a statewide organization where there are citizens in all the different districts who actually will make those calls and who will, in advance of the legislature, sit down with their elected officials.
Absolutely. I mean, most of the significant legislation that passes, in my experience, in the legislature, comes from grassroots people being part of an organization and pushing issues year after year. When you look at significant DWI legislation that started happening in the 90s, that came from a tragedy and from Mothers Against Drunk Driving and other DWI groups pushing that legislation. All of the equality legislation for people who are gay and lesbian have come from grassroots organizations. They're pushing the conservation movements, the environmental movements. Those pieces of legislation come from the grassroots, come from people saying, we want this to happen. And it does make a difference. It's what moves the legislature. And then on the other hand, when you have corporations pushing certain agendas, though it's not grassroots, they get all their businesses to call, they have high-paid lobbyists up there, and they have successes on their issues.
So let's move on to the question of lobbyists, since you mentioned lobbyists.
Yes.
What do they do? How do they work?
Well, effective lobbyists will do what I was just talking about, get their agenda with their client and start working that agenda during the interim committees and getting people one-on-one to work with, to talk to their legislators before and during the legislative session. And then what a lobbyist does during the session is really make sure that the bill gets written, that, well, first that you find a sponsor and that the bill gets written and then the bill gets introduced. And then you start working the committees where that bill is going to be heard. So, like, I have several child care bills. I represent licensed child care providers. And one of the things that, that we want to see is some credentialing for certain kinds of child preschool teachers. So we've drafted a bill. We have a sponsor, and now we'll have a committee hearing. And when that committee hearing is getting really close, the child care providers that live in a district of one of the legislators will start getting them to call in and email and even come up and visit, so that when we get to that hearing, we know that those legislators have heard about this. And as a lobbyist, I will go around and talk to every legislator on that committee and tell them, okay, here's this bill, here's why we support it, and we hope you'll support it too. So oftentimes, lobbyists know going into a committee hearing whether we're going to get our bill passed out or not.
Do Santa Feans have a home turf advantage because just for being so close to the legislature?
Well, they do in the respect that they don't have to drive an hour from Albuquerque or 4 hours from Las Cruces to get up to the Capitol and talk to their legislator. Now, we still have the problem around the Capitol of no parking. We've got this parking garage going up west of the Capitol, which will be ready by the next session, which is fabulous. So that when citizens come up and people come up, they're not going to have to drive around for 30 minutes and then, of course, get a parking ticket, looking for a place to park and parking and getting a ticket. So that's going to be invaluable for people being able to come up to the legislature and testify at hearings and talk to their legislators.
One of the things you mentioned before is that there are some issues that are complicated and specialized and hard to understand. Do legislators welcome citizens or citizens' groups doing the educational function of explaining to them some of those things?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that is one of the main roles of groups, organizational groups, to put out position papers and talking points. That's a role of a paid lobbyist or a volunteer lobbyist, to go and talk to a legislator and explain, okay, here's the issues from our perspective, and here's what the other side is going to say, and here's our argument against it, so that they get that information and know it going into committee hearings. And also at the committee hearings, people will testify and talk about the issues.
Back to lobbyists, and we just have another minute or so left. What is the role of money in lobbying? I mean, this is something on a national and state level that we hear about in all sorts of ways. I mean, you, Linda Siegel, representing struggling nonprofit groups and healthcare groups, aren't exactly going to be providing golf vacations, but you're not really allowed to anyway. Or what's the deal with money in lobbying?
Well, we have rules now. Some were passed in the last session and the session before about limiting particularly those trips, those junkets that people used to go on, and I think now that that's limited to $250 per legislator for buying them things or taking them on trips or whatever. So a lot of that is curtailed. But as lobbyists, we all make campaign contributions. To say that dollars change people's votes, you know, you generally can't say that. Patsy Madrid, when she was debating Heather Wilson a few years ago, said what lobbying money buys is access. And to a large extent, that can be true. It's not necessarily true, but if somebody gives you a big check, you're probably going to talk to them in the future. Does it mean you're going to vote with them? Not necessarily, no. But there's always that perception, and I think that's what we're trying to get rid of. Most of our legislators are so dedicated, so committed, and they would not do things like that. But then there becomes a perception that if they're getting money from someone, that means they're going to vote a certain way.
Linda Siegel joins us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday just before 9 o'clock with the legislative update. Linda, thanks so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.